Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For a little while last night, my wife and I were watching a show on happiness. And there's all these psychologists that are, they study happiness, they teach happiness classes. And it started out pretty good, and they talked about how people that are happy has nothing to do with their incomes or how much money they have, really, or the things they have. Once you have your basic necessities, there's very little difference between people that make, you know, 50,000 and 50 million as far as happiness. And they interviewed some people in India that were very poor, but the guy was very happy, had his family. You know, he lived in a what we would think of as a shack, but he had his family, and they were very thankful for everything they had. And it went on. And then after a while, it got stupid, you know. But they didn't really get to the real point. And the real point is that, you know, real happiness is when you walk with God, when you're a son of God, and when you know God and the truth of God. But what I want to look at today is thankfulness. And, you know, thankfulness is an ingredient in being happy in life or blessed or content or tranquil or any number of things. You know, they're all part of being happy. It's, you know, we think of happy sometimes as, ha-ha, happy, I got everything I want, or I had a great time, or, but, you know, happiness is really, you know, you're blessed with your situation and you're happy because you know what you know. You have people to love you and you love those people. They've done studies and one of the great ingredients of happiness is giving. People that give are much more happy than people that are selfish. So anyway, we're going to look at thankfulness because that is a big ingredient of happiness. I don't know if it's a result of or part of, or but it's an important part of life. And chapter 5, verse 14 will begin. Gives us a listing of some things. It says, now we exhort you, brethren. Exhort means what? To encourage. To encourage. We encourage you, brethren. Warn them that are unruly. Or means to confront those that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, which means the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Be patient toward all. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. You know, it's not about getting even or avenging or any of that stuff. That's not a good way to live. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore. Now, to rejoice is not really to be happy, is it? It's to rejoice. You rejoice. You have joy. And we have joy because we have God. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have joy because we have Holy Spirit within. It has nothing to do with circumstances or situations or anything else. But if you're rejoicing, then you have a better chance of being happy. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything. What's everything? Everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the will of God, to give thanks in everything, to be thankful. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and the second half of Romans chapter 1 is a commentary on man in general and mankind and natural man. So it says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, mankind, is without an excuse. You know, kind of amazing when you think about it. You look at nature, look at the stars in the sky, look at all the things that go on, and you go, it's not a mistake. You know, it's not a mistake. It's obvious that there is something there. There's a design. It's amazing. The stars are the perfect clock. They don't lose a millionth of a second in time. They're exactly where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. You know, it's amazing. Then you know, you look at these nature shows and they show all these animals. And we were watching last night again, and they showed these birds in a feeding frenzy, and there were millions of them. And there were these fish, you know, a school of fish, and these birds are diving, you know, blue, and it's like rain coming out of heaven, and there's others flying, and then and they don't collide. You know, they don't go for the same fish. You know, it's amazing. How does that work? How do those fish get there at the right time to feed these birds so they have food while they're nesting? You know, and you go on and on and on and on. It's just incredible. See, so man is without an excuse. Because that when they knew God, in the past tense, they glorified him not as God, neither were what?
Thankful.
But because became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. So we see here that to be unthankful is indicative of the road down. You know, it's a step on the road down. And their hearts, you know, they're vain in their imaginations. You know, they were just prideful, and their reasonings, their imaginations, their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened, meaning they turned from God. They turned from the true light. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Is there anybody that wants to be a fool? I wouldn't think so. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. They made idols. They made up gods. What is it? This is Jeremiah where it says, got man turned away from God, the living fountain of waters, and hewed out themselves cisterns, broken cisterns. Because man is basically God hungry. But if he doesn't have the truth and the true God, then what does he do? He makes up stuff. You know, even atheists who profess to be not believing in a God all believe in something, right? And it describes it here. You know, they become vain in their imaginations. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, the dishonor of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, and the word creature there is the word creation. It means something made. You know, what was made. And things that are made, they worship more than the one that made them. Because even if man makes an idol, he makes the idol, but what does he make it out of? Something that God gave him to make it with. You know, it's crazy. So man does that. He does that, all that stuff. See? We have a reason to be thankful. And when you get unthankful, it takes you away from the truth of God. We have a reason to be thankful because of life itself, because of the air we breathe, because of the food we eat, the water we drink, because God gave it to us, and it all belongs to him, and he just gives it to us to use. It's all his. You know, and when you come to that realization, you can be more thankful. You can realize your position, your situation, and you put things in perspective. You know, we have, at best, you know, 100 years on this earth, which is just the blink of an eye in all eternity. But God has given us what? Eternal life. What a great thing. Let's go to Ephesians. So, you know, sometimes, well, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Right? We learned that in John 10. And one of the things he wants to steal is your thankfulness. He will try to steal your thankfulness. He will try to get you unthankful. What did he do with Eve in the garden? He got her unthankful, you know. Hey, you know, God's not really doing his best for you. You could be like us. You could be like gods, you know. And, you know, you can eat of every tree, but he didn't let you eat this one, you know. And see, thankfulness, he wants to cheat us out of and steal from us the thankfulness we should have. Because when we're thankful, God blesses us. He takes care of us. We look to him in a better way. We're more blessed with life. We're more able to deal with the bumps in the road in life and the rainstorms and all the things that come along, because they do come along, right? Okay, chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, imitators of God. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God, imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then it goes into a listing of junky things. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetous, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks, giving of thanks, you know, to give thanks. If we read through the Bible and we look at all the great men of the Bible, you'll see that no matter what their situation was, they were thankful. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. We looked at him the other week. We're just going to look at one verse here, though. And Daniel chapter 6, this is it's when those guys conspired against them. In chapter 6, verse 10. After King Darius signed the writing that if anybody should pray to anybody but him, they would get thrown in the lion's den. So what did Daniel do? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew it, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did what? A fourth time. Which tells us what? That he did it. He always did it. That was his way of life. He prayed to God and he gave thanks throughout his life. Now we don't know a lot of details about Daniel, and at the point of this record, he is pretty old already. He's probably in his 80s. But he came to Babylon when he was a child, when he was 11, 12 years old. He was part of the Babylonian captivity. He got ripped away from his family. We don't know anything about his parents, but we know that he was taken with the other young boys that had intelligence and talent. And they were brought together in Nebuchadnezzar's household, and they were put in like an academy. They were trained in the ways of the Babylonians, in their religion, in their superstitions, in their sciences, and in their culture. And they were trained up in that stuff. So basically, it's a forced servitude. You would say, you know, he was kind of like a slave. I mean, he wasn't given the options. He was, okay, this is what you're doing. This is going to be your life. Taken away, imagine being taken away from your parents at 11 or 12 years old, taken to a foreign land and being forced to do stuff that you know is not right, because from the very beginning, he stood for God, didn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, he refused to eat of the king's table and eat, you know, pork and shellfish and whatever else it was that they were feeding him, and he drank water and ate pulse, whatever pulse is. We believe it's some kind of soup or vegetable stuff or something. Anyway, he, from the time he was a young man, you know, so he had plenty of reasons to be not happy. He had plenty of reasons not to be thankful. He could say, you know, how did God let this happen to me? Why did he do this? Why didn't he keep me with my parents? Why didn't he do this or that? Well, I don't know, but it says he was thankful, right? He prayed to God every day and gave thanks as aforetime. It was his way of life. He gave thanks. What a great guy he was. And you know what he knew? He knew what God said in his word. He knew that his happiness and his thankfulness were not just dependent upon his circumstances and situations. He saw beyond that. He saw the promises of God for eternity. He was aware of the promises of God even for Israel, and that God would return them back to the promised land. Because in the next chapter, or not in the next chapter, chapter 9, he prays to God for the return of Israel back to their homeland. And then who comes to visit him? Gabriel. And he says, as soon as your knees hit the floor, God sent me to say, good. Pretty cool. Let's go to Isaiah 51. We'll see one of these promises that Daniel knew. What a great guy. You know, the records of the Word of God are so incredible, and you got to think about it. You got to dwell upon it. You got to put it in your brain and hold it there. So we see here Daniel is in his 80s, but he stood for God his whole life, and every time something came up, every time there was a negative, God blessed him. God took care of him so that he was second in command of the whole Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, under Darius, under, what was the other guy's name?
Cyrus,
you know. And he did pretty good, you know, and he lived to be an old man. Moses was 80 when he left Egypt. He was, 40 when he left Egypt, 80 when he came back, and he led Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, you know. Age has nothing to do with serving God, you know. And one of the things that the devil would like to talk you out of or into is you're too old to do anything. You know, you don't have to accept that. You just push forward and say, okay, I'm going to do for God. I don't care. If you don't think you can be bold like you used to be, if you don't think you can believe God like you once did, why not? You know? Look at these guys in the Word of God. They lived to be old, but they stood for God the whole time, and they did great things because they learned as they went along. They got wiser and smarter and even more bold. It's incredible. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. That would be us. Now, this is written to Israel, but it's true of us, right? Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. You know, man was made out of what? Dirt. That's what Adam was made out of, dirt. That's what his name means. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. You know, it says in Galatians, we are the seed of Abraham if we believe. We're the same. We're his children. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. That's referring to Israel, right? He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. You know, that's a prophecy concerning Israel in the future. Our future is even better. It's even better because we're going to get gathered together and ever be with the Lord. Israel has to wait for that even after that, you know, until we come back and we are with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years as he rules and all the other stuff. But still in all, it's pretty cool to think about it, isn't it? Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, mine arm shall judge the people, the isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. You know, and that's what we do. We trust on God's arm. He will hold us up. He will take care of us. He will defend us. He will watch over us. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, And the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken to me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not that reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wood. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Isn't that cool? Daniel knew this stuff, see? And that allowed him to be thankful because he knew his future. He didn't look at the stuff going on around him. He looked at the future and he looked at the promises of God and he believed God. What a great thing. See, we have God's assurance, don't we? We have his seed within us. We know that we are destined for eternal life, to ever be with the Lord. Can't beat that. New bodies. What a great thing. We're going to be in a place where there are no more tears, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. And we're going to ever be with the Lord. Psalm 69. Another guy that was like this was David. David was another guy. And you go through the Psalms and look at some of the Psalms, and you know, some places it uses the word thankful or thankfulness or thanksgiving. But just his praise for God, you see his thankfulness. You see how blessed he is for God's deliverance in his life. Because again, what did David have to go through? It wasn't about circumstances and situations. Because God anointed him king, and then what happened? He became a fugitive. And he was being hunted by Saul, and his life was in danger for years. He had to live with the unbelievers for a while, with the heathen, with the Philistines. He had to pretend he was insane once. You know, he had to glean food from the fields. All kinds of crazy stuff before he finally got to sit on the throne. Then his own sons rebelled against him. You know, his own son. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. When we're thankful, we magnify God. It's kind of cool, isn't it? You know, one of the things it says about speaking in tongues, it says we're giving thanks well, and it says when they spoke in tongues, they magnified God. Verse 31, this also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or a bullock, that hath horns and hoofs. In other words, thanksgiving and praise to God is more pleasing to him than sacrifices. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. You want to be happy? Be thankful. Let's go to Psalm 18. You know, through all the things that David went through, he remained thankful all the time. He remained faithful to God and he remained thankful. You know, to be thankful doesn't mean that you never have any sadness in your life. Or it doesn't mean that something negative never happens, you know. You don't get the job you want, or you don't get the raise you deserve, or somebody is ungrateful to you, or a friend turns away from you for some reason. Yeah. Well, that has nothing to do with you and God, does it? Circumstances and situations have nothing to do with you and God and the truth of what God has promised us and what he's given us and what he has assured us of throughout all eternity. Psalm 18, verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You know, David's not saying, you know, I have this great castle and it's up on Mount Zion, and it's impregnable, and I have all these soldiers and my mighty men, and I can beat anybody. He didn't say that, did he? He said, my God is my fortress and my deliverer, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Because he didn't always have a castle, did he, or a palace. He didn't always have an army. He didn't always have all that stuff. When he went to meet Goliath, what did he have? A sling. That uncircumcised Philistine. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me about. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me or preceded me. In my distress, I call upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation of also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth, and so on and so forth, because he defended David and he took care of the situation. Pretty amazing. Verse 27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. You know, it's cool to see those verses in the context. You know, we quote them or we know them. But David was so thankful to God and so sure that God would take care of him and deliver him no matter what the situation. And it wasn't like, you know, it happened overnight, was it? You know, it took years. It took years for him to get where God wanted him to be. But he just hung in there. He wasn't unthankful. Okay, God, you anointed me king, but look at me, I'm out in the wilderness and I don't even have a place to sleep. It wasn't his mindset. It wasn't his mindset. His mindset was he was thankful and he wanted to praise God no matter what the situation. Verse 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. His psalms just reek of thanksgiving. They drip with thanksgiving. He was just thankful all the time. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Pretty cool. Psalm 30. I think, you know, if you have problems with your mind, if you have problems with mentally, work on being thankful. It'll help you. I can remember growing up as a kid, my mom constantly would say, you know, you need to be thankful. I complain about something. She said, well, okay, but you're healthy, you have a loving family, you have a nice house, and you get to do a lot of things other people don't do, and you always have a good meal in your stomach and so on and so forth. And yeah, when you're a kid, you know, oh wow, I don't have a bike like the guy down the street. I don't have a new baseball glove like Johnny, or, you know, but as you grow older, you realize, well, wow, I have a lot to be thankful for. Just being born in the United States is a great thing to be thankful for, you know, that you ended up here for some reason. Wow, how cool is that? What a great thing. Psalm 30, verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord. What a great word, extol. It means promote, praise, laud. For thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. You know, another great thing about Thanksgiving is if you need healing, it helps to be thankful. It helps to be thankful. Okay, so you got a broken leg, but so what? You got a good doctor to set your bone and it's going to heal. Or whatever, you know, be thankful. Thou hast kept me alive and I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at remembrance of his holiness. You know, that's something just to be thankful. God's holiness, God's purity, God's faithfulness, God's reliability, God's goodness, God's mercy, God's righteousness, God's justness, God's whatever. It's all good. We should be thankful for all of that. For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, sometimes we're going to be sad. Okay, but tomorrow's another day. The sun's going to come up no matter how dark the night gets. You know, no matter how hard the rain is, you know, it's going to pass. No matter how much it snows, eventually it's going to melt. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. What a cool verse. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood? Where I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? You know, you can't do anything for God if you're dead. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. What a great guy. He really understood it. Go back to Romans. So, you know, we just keep things in perspective. We got to see bigger than just now. We can see now. We can see the promise of God now. You know, now there is therefore no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's now. You know, we are holy now. We are justified now. But he's got so much for us continuing on forever. It's kind of a crazy thing to think about. Chapter 8, verse 18, one of my favorite verses. For I reckon, or I account. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon, or I account, that the sufferings, the things I have to endure of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So any negative crap that you have to go through, any bumps in the road, any storms that you have to endure, any sadness, and there's sadness in every life, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's in our future. How could you not be thankful? It's not even worthy to be compared. Not even worthy. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I passed it twice. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, you know that, right? God raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. That's kind of a great statement when you think about it. All things are for your sakes. Years ago, Dr. Will used to teach teaching, and he'd say, you know, the whole universe was made for our galaxy. The galaxy was made for our solar system. The solar system was made for the earth, and the earth was made for believers. It wasn't really made for unbelievers. It was made for believers. Yeah, see, Ellie knows. Right on. That's what she said. I'm interpreting for you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundance, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, our bodies slowly deteriorate, but our spirit is perfect. And our mind can stay vibrant and alive as we renew it day by day. For our light affliction, our light, that's what God calls it, our light affliction. Light means easy to bear. Which is but for a moment. And, you know, again, our time on earth is but a blink of the eye, a twinkling of the eye, it says, right? Is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's kind of saying the same thing as Romans 8:18, isn't it? Our light affliction worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Now, you know, that's a comparison, right? Light affliction and the eternal weight of glory. Kind of cool when you think about the comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. David looked at the things that were not seen. He looked at the promise of God. You know, oh well, they made this law and they're gonna and the king signed it and they're gonna throw me in the lion's den. So what did he do? He went and he prayed and he gave thanks. Thanks, God. Thanks for allowing me to do what I do for you. Thanks for letting me glorify you. Thanks for making everybody see that I believe in you and that you're my God. That's what he did. You know, David just wanted to go in the temple and praise God and make God known. He wanted to declare to, he said, the congregation, the greatness of God and his mighty works. Goes on and on. It's just amazing. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Which means what? Temporary. That's why when we speak of somebody and they're believers and they die or pass away, we say they are asleep. Because it's temporary. Because sleep is temporary, right? Sometimes we wish it was more less temporary than other times, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Those things of God are eternal. They last forever. You know, and that's what we look to, and that's why we can be thankful in every situation, in every circumstance, because no matter what, we have those promises of God, and they are forever. You know, the things that we deal with are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Our light affliction is nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory. Wow, what a great thing. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Just rocking and rolling here. Colossians chapter 3. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to study the whole book of Genesis. No, not today. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore. Put on is like, the word put on there is like clothe yourself. It's like putting on a jacket or a shirt or put on, therefore, as the elect of God, the chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond or the glue of perfectness or maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye what?
Thankful.
Thankful. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can be thankful, that if we think and consider and dwell upon and look upon the things that you've told us and the place that you've put us in your heart and in your life and in the body of Christ, that we will truly be thankful, because we have no reason to be unthankful. We have all and more than we ever dreamed of because of you, God, and we just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and how you made all of this available for us, and we thank you in his precious and wonderful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.